All right, welcome to the TalkCast. Boom, we're back. John and
we
Brian.
We are back. Brian and John, together again.
Oh my God, it's been so long. Oh man. All right, so.
Whenever we were going to do the podcast again,
yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind was like, we've got to recreate from Ghostbusters 2 coming out of the courtroom and being like, we're the best, we're the beautiful, the only Ghostbusters. And then Ray's like, we're
Todd
back.
Casters.
We're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That'd be pretty funny. You should have said something
I'm
earlier.
Sorry. All right. I forgot until just now when we were doing the back thing.
All right. We got some cool events coming up. First, I'd like to thank everybody that came out for the 30th anniversary sale.
Yes.
It was crazy. Every store did very well. We thank you. Especially those dudes that went to Elwood and Doug. Like, they sold so many dollar books. It's not even funny. Like, the sheer ridiculousness of dollar books that were sold, like, blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, here at the Mills, we had multiple people come back throughout the day,
right,
dollar digging, because it's like, they bought, like, a huge stack, you know, and
right,
it was just change. And it was like, oh, what's that, 50 comics for $2 short, whatever it was, you know, whatever it actually worked
oh, yeah,
out to be. And then they're like, they came back, and I'm like, you got the bug now. It's like, I can't not. You know, it's like 30 cents a book.
I know, man. I can't stop.
And then what's a couple, at the very end of the night, I heard three guys talking. You probably know who they were, depending on where you were that day.
Maybe.
But they had already hit three or four of the stores. They had, like,
oh,
from
yeah,
start, they went and, like, started in Elwood, then went to
Cranberry, Butler, and here,
yeah,
I think.
And
yeah,
then, like, they're like, it was, like, maybe 6 o'clock-ish. But
yeah,
they were here, and they're like, the one's like, okay, we're done, because we're not going to make it to another store in time before, like, a 9 o'clock close. So, like, we're done.
Oh, man. Yeah, there were guys that started in Elwood and ended up in C3, started in Elwood and came here. I think a lot of guys started in Elwood and then moved on because
sure,
they went dollar diving.
Right, yeah.
And then they went everywhere else. Right. But it was really fun. It was really good. Everybody had fun. The cupcakes were amazing. The cakes.
Yeah.
Cake / cupcakes, depending on which store you were at.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty happy with everything as general manager, and you know, it's good. It was a lot of fun. I really, really had a blast. It was weird though, because I'm at the Mills on that day, and the PGA Tour was going on.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, it's in Oakmont, or it was in Oakmont. So the Mills Mall became the parking lot for the Open. Like, they paid the mall, mm-hmm, to let people park here and shuttle them down. So outside the store, there's that half row that's against the concrete sidewalk.
Right.
And then the first double row. And then everything else in the parking lot was for the PGA.
Yes,
and people
insane
were even parking in the spot they weren't anyway.
Yeah,
supposed
of course
to,
they did.
And still walking in and going across the mall and getting out by the theater and catching the bus.
And it wasn't
just
insane in front of our
no,
exit.
No, no, no.
It was the entire
the
mall.
The solid ring around,
yeah,
the mall like that. And
insane.
And people were like, what? So it was funny because, like, I was like, oh man, like, this is going to flop here. This is weird. Like, I'm getting all these reports from the other stores. It's doing really well. And then all of a sudden, like, 4 o'clock hits, and, like, it is, like, pandemonium in here.
Yes, because I was here,
like,
for it. It was,
yeah,
crazy.
From,
yeah,
four to close, there, it was, like, nuts. Like, you guys didn't actually close, I think, until, like, 9:30, because you're,
yeah,
still ringing people out.
Right.
It was awesome.
It was pretty, it was bad in the morning. We're just like, really? What's going on? You know, nobody was here, and we're, like, getting all upset. Stupid golfers, go away, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, but like you said, it's not even like it was over at four, but there was just some sort of, like, shift that people were like, screw,
yeah,
it, I'm going out.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. It was like,
and it's
why
not
are
just
all the
here
people
because
just
there
up here?
There were lots for that stupid thing,
yeah,
all over the city.
Oh yeah,
like even out on
there
Route 8,
there
in
were parking
North
lots in Cranberry, like in Cranberry,
mm-hmm,
like it was like over near that Target, that, you know, the big,
oh,
one,
yeah,
over by Mars,
right?
Like there was like a lot there that you could park at and take the bus down the turnpike and into Oakmont. And I was like, really?
Yeah,
really? People, yeah, drive like. People it's park way the hell out here and take,
yeah,
the bus? This is ridiculous.
Well, it's probably people that live out there.
Oh, yeah, that's
park
that's
there,
good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what was it? Whatever this was, like, the mall was like the blue lot, and the red lot was out on North on Route 8.
Oh,
by,
yeah,
like PPG and stuff. I'm like, what in God? And I remember coming in that morning, driving down Route 8 past that, and it was all backed up for that,
yep,
turning lane. Luckily, the slow lane was actually moving because nobody, but I was like, oh, no. If this
right
is all backed up for this, I thought 28 was going to be horrible with the exit for the mall.
Right.
But I just cruised through that. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I know a couple guys told me like the day before they'd come out to do something and they would actually, they had to drive up on the median, like not the median, but the, like the pullover lane.
Oh, yeah.
Like they got on that and just drove it the whole way around and onto the ramp and into the mall.
Wow.
Because it was both lanes were solid all the way up to like the Sarver exit. It was insane. So anyway, thanks for coming out.
Yes.
It was a good time.
Bashing.
Right. It was a good time. It was a really good time. You know,
people loved it.
30 years of nerd catering. It's kind of how it is.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, every store did really well. We're all really happy, and you know, we thank everybody that came out.
2016
like any of the 30
been
years?
A huge year for NDC, basically.
Yeah,
with
kinda.
Rivers Comic Con 30th anniversary. Those are huge milestones.
Well, that's why we made. That's why part of the beer thing for the con was, it was to celebrate three things: the 50th year anniversary of Helltown, the first year anniversary of the con, and 30th anniversary of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was like three in one. It was like the perfect like triforce of. of anniversaries. It was really cool.
It's dangerous to go alone. Get drunk.
Take this. One of my friend's kids was dressed like that wizard for Sci-Fi in the Valley Con.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of fun too. We went down there. We took a bunch of dollar books, and Friday they were a dollar, Saturday they were 50 cents, and Sunday they were a quarter.
Wow.
And we probably sold 10 long boxes worth of stuff while we were down there between the 3 days.
Wow.
All the good stuff went Friday because people were like, I'll pay a dollar for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday it was like, man, we sold like 3 long boxes. But Sunday we sold like 7 or 8. It was unbelievable. I was like, why are all these? Like, there were solid 12 people all day long.
Really?
All day. And I was just like, really? really? Quarter books? Or like, really? Like, I'm just like, I don't understand.
You know,
but
filling up your collection or, you know, just trying new stuff? Why not for a quarter?
It was good. It was a lot of fun. That con was cool. Casey Bassett put on a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys haven't been there and you're living in the greater Altoona area, definitely check it out next year. It's 2 floors. It's in the Blair County Convention Center just off I-90 and 22, south of the actual city of Altoona by about like a mile and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like... Like, a buddy of mine lives downtown Altoona, like, just north of the mall,
mm-hmm.
and we just went across the street. We crossed the 4-lane, which is Plank Road,
okay,
and we just went up by the sheets, and then, like, we just stayed on the road, just stayed straight, and we were right there.
Nice.
And there's a really awesome new theater across the street. It's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. definitely go and check it out if you're in that area. All right, we got some events coming up. Saturday, July 2nd is free T-shirt day.
All right.
So, what that means is you come in the store... You spend $10, and we're going to give you a free T-shirt out of a select amount of T-shirts.
It's like 2 or 3 wall books right there.
It's like 4 if you're only buying the new DC stuff because it's $3.99. Yeah. Like, that's one good trade.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a first image first trade right there.
It's like the first volume of Saga or something. Or
Yeah. $9.99. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Technically, that's $9.99 and not $10. So...
Okay.
You'd have to buy, you know, like a pin or something, or
right.
a piece of candy,
yeah.
or a can of pop. There you go. That's probably the cheapest thing in the store.
Yeah.
Can of pop. But you get a free T-shirt. So it's kind of cool. Sizes are limited. Selection is limited, so come early and get the one you want.
Mm-hmm.
They are kind of cool. A lot of them have BB-8 on them.
Oh.
Yeah, they came in transfer this week. Then, also on that same day, we have a... Grand Prix trial for Indianapolis at the Mills. Standard constructed. It's going to be a ton of fun. I will be your head judge. It will be great.
You will not cheat.
You will not cheat.
Yeah.
You will not look at the card. Then July 23rd, we're doing Not at Comic-Con Day again. This is kind of a cool event that we've done. We did last year. It worked out well. The first 100 people through the door at all 6 locations are going to get a swag bag. The swag bag has some free stuff in it. Some is from Xenoscope, some stuff from Valiant, some stuff from IDW, some other, like, I think Action Lab might be throwing some stuff in there, too. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if you come in costume or wear a cape. I don't care if your cape's crappy. I don't care if it's like
a bed sheet.
I don't care if it's a paper towel stuffed in the back of your shirt and it looks like a cape for like 5 seconds. Like, we're gonna give you 10% off your whole transaction that day, all day, as long as you do that. As long as you come in some kind of costume or wear a cape. Then, if that isn't cool enough, we have a couple artists coming to each store.
Awesome.
I don't have the exact list yet. We're still working that out. But Mills and C3 will have 3 to 4 each. Ohio should have 2. Cranberry, I think, is going to have 2. Butler's going to have 1 or 2. And then Elwood might have 1,
mm-hmm.
if at all, because it's Elwood. Like, right. Let's face it, no one really goes to Elwood.
So, unless the basement sale's going on.
Right. But also, all the dollar books are going to be half price that day. So, 50-cent dollar books. So, if you didn't come for the 30-cent sale, come for the half-off sale.
Still a deal.
Same selections as they were, but, I mean, you never know. You might find something else if you didn't get through all the way through it.
That's
actually
the thing. I mean, most
technically, you won't it may not be it. Because we'll probably find more stuff by then. Oh, so, we'll whatever. Sure. Yeah.
But it's also, you don't have time to dig through all that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. Like, the pace in which that we buy them and restock that stuff blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 4 weeks from now. I guarantee you there's going to be at least 20 new boxes at every store by then.
Absolutely.
At least 20. So if you want to check it out, check it out. Except for Butler. There'll be 10 because that's all they can hold.
Right. So.
All right, so let's talk about some comics.
What?
We talk about comics on this podcast? All right, so the first comic I'm going to talk about is Titans Rebirth. By the way, these are all books that came out last week, and we had time to actually read them, unlike what we tried to do before where we read them the day they came out, and then it was like, oh, look at this. But, yeah, we're pretty busy, and we're trying to get this through to you guys, but, you know, you got to bear with us.
Yeah.
So anyway, Titans Rebirth. If you haven't picked it up, it's pretty good. So Wally West basically goes, well, the next people I should probably talk to after Barry is the Titans, because they were my best friends after that, and we did all this stuff together. And so he goes to Titans Tower. Not really Titans Tower. I think it's like a complex now, they say.
Mm-hmm.
But like he's standing there, and he's looking at all these pictures on their fridge, right?
Okay.
And Nightwing comes in. And he's like, who are you? And he's like, hey, Dick, calm down. He's like, how do you know that name? And he's like, and then like Dick Grayson starts like attacking him. And he's like, God, I forgot how fast he can be. And he's like flipping around doing crazy Nightwing stuff. And the Flash is just like, because he's now a Flash. He's not Kid Flash. He's a Flash.
Okay.
So he's like, I don't know what I can do. I don't want to hurt him. And then eventually he touches him and the Speed Force lightning jogs his memory. And he's like, Oh my God.
Oh,
Wally. Oh, we're friends. Oh my God. I didn't know.
A hero fight.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh no. And then, so that happens. And then all of a sudden, like the rest of the Titans show up. So like Aqualad, Lilith, and Roy show up, and they're all like, they all kind of do the same thing. They all try to attack him, and Dick's like, no, don't do it. Like, and he's just like running around trying not to hurt them, and he keeps touching them, and they'll land a punch or something, and it'll jog their memory, and they're all like, oh my God, Wally, oh crap, sorry, I didn't mean to punch you, dude.
Sorry, we don't lead. Okay, well, who is the leader of 19 Titans?
I think Dick Grayson will be, but it might actually be Wally. I think they kind of set it up to be Wally.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're not the Teen Titans.
They're the Titans. Sorry.
They're like the adult group.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, so you're not going to listen to your leader when he says, don't fight this guy.
Well, cool.
But
I guess Nightwing would have been leading them before that.
Yeah.
But the way they set it up, it feels like Wally will end up being the leader.
That's kind
of
cool.
But I'm not really down with that because I always liked Dick Grayson as the leader of both Teen Titans and Titans. Even the Justice League when he was Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty cool, like seeing all their memories shoot back, because like, it would always be like a weird memory.
Oh, okay.
So it was just kind of fun, a good read. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like Titans, but or Wally West, but I'm trying to like dive into some of the Rebirth stuff to check it out so that I can help you guys find the right stuff that you want. And so far, it's been pretty good. But, like, I didn't really dig Batman, the regular Batman. I thought Detective was awesome, though.
Okay.
I thought Action and Superman were probably the best books that are out for Rebirth right now.
Wow, okay.
Like, this is the first time since Straczynski wrote The Grounded Run back in, like, 2009 that I've actually given a crap about Superman.
Wow.
Like, legitly given a crap about. Not just, oh, he's got a new power, I'm going to check it out. It's, wow, I really actually enjoy reading a Superman book. And I think it's because it's Tomasi writing it, and I really like his story. I like his writing, his whole vibe. Like, he wrote Batman and Robin for a while, and it was really good for the New 52. And I just enjoyed the hell out of it. So
cool.
But, yeah. There was some other stuff, too, that was pretty good. I'll just give you a real quick rundown of the ones I thought were decent so far. Aquaman was actually really good. Okay. And they threw back scenes to Geoff Johns' number one issue. So that was kind of fun. I thought that... I didn't read Green Arrow, but I heard it was good. Green Lanterns, I thought, was pretty good. Wonder Woman was better than okay, but it was only the one shot. Like, the new issue came out this week, so you know, hopefully we'll get an idea of what that's like, because it was basically like a thing in her head where she basically was like I don't know what I am. Am I a god? Am I a human? Did I make it a clay? Did I not? By the way, I have a brother, and like it was like real weird. I was like, so you're basically just like, but it was for a filler issue and a connection issue. It was very well done, but it really wasn't start of a story.
Right, because it was a filler issue.
So right.
It was just, okay.
So, it was okay. The Flash Rebirth issue was really good. The art was a little weird, but I got used to it as I read it, and it was good by the end. But yeah, other than that, it was... Yeah. So, like, so
I've
far,
heard
so
good.
Good
things about Rebirth, which is surprising to me after Convergence. Yeah. But yeah.
But like Batman, I didn't like the first issue. I don't know if it was just, I didn't like the first issue, and I didn't really like the Rebirth issue, like the one shot.
Okay.
So I was very confused as to what's actually going on. Like, I was like, I don't know if I like this. I wasn't really confused. It was more like a, why, like, I don't.
Why do I care?
And yeah, it's like this doesn't grab me like the Scott Snyder stuff did at the beginning.
Okay.
But it's Tim King, so we'll give him a couple issues, because like he did really awesome with Grayson, he did awesome with Vision. You know, so he's done a lot of really good stuff, and we'll see how it goes. So
cool.
But overall, definitely check out your new DC Rebirth stuff. By the way, real quick service announcement.
Okay.
When you want stuff subscribed to your sub for subscribers for the new DC stuff, please tell us that you want the new ongoing series,
right?
Not the Rebirth, because Rebirth
is two separate things.
Was actually just a set of one shots. Even though it says Rebirth at the top, what it's actually telling you is this is the newest version of DC. It's like the new 52 stamp. Like, it is the new ongoing Green Lanterns. It is the new ongoing Detective. Like, that stuff. It's not Rebirth Detective. Anyway.
Like, to add to that, really what it is anytime your comic resets to number one, you need to tell us that you want it resubscribed, because it doesn't, in the system, it doesn't, that's a new code, and the system doesn't recognize that. Even though, you know, if it's Amazing Spider-Man, and after... You know, Secret Wars, it's Amazing Spider-Man number one, but it's still the same story, which it was, basically. You need to tell us that, because you need to say, hey, I want to keep Amazing Spider-Man number one, and I want the new one. Because otherwise, we'll stop pulling anything, because it's not the same code, so the system doesn't kick it out.
Right.
And people get confused on that, justifiably so.
Right.
And so that makes a lot of glitches in your pulls, and then, you know, people are upset, and we're upset because we missed it for you, and it's like, you know...
We don't mean to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, there's a difference between Rebirth and DC ongoings in this new universe. So, just kind of try to be a little clear, make sure, because, like, we want to pull your books for you.
Right.
We want you to buy the books.
Of course.
We don't want you to miss your books. but we need the more information. Yeah. And, you know, if they don't ask, be like, hey, make sure this is the ongoing, not the one shot.
Right.
If they don't ask. Because if you tell us, I want Rebirth Green Lanterns, there's a Rebirth Green Lanterns, and it's a single issue.
Right.
And we will find you that single issue, and that is it.
Yeah.
So we'd rather not, but just saying. All right, cool. Here, let's talk about a joint book.
Okay.
So Civil War number two. by Bendis and Marquette. So it was pretty good. Like this whole Civil War vibe is kind of awesome, in my opinion at least. The whole Iron Man sneaking into Adelon to kidnap Ulysses was weird, but really kind of interesting because you don't really think of him as that kind of guy that would do that. And then Beast is just like, I'm not going to help.
It's Stark. I know him.
Yeah. And then the Inhumans are like, you know, they're mad about it. So they go to Stark Tower and, you know, the rest of the Marvel Universe just shows up.
Basically,
but I thought this was kind of cool. Yeah, I thought this part was cool, though, where he's actually just, testing him to see how his ability works. And, Friday's just trying to give him pointers of, there it is. Nope, there it is. Nope. And I'm just like, this is, so Bendis, it's, not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great little quips, too, they busted in, and, you stole this guy. It's like, oh, come on, I'm not torturing him. Look, he's torturing me a little bit.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and he's got that awesome smile, and then he has that crazy futuristic vision again, and everybody shares it this time, and his powers are getting crazy, and, you know, they go hunting down Banner, which is the first time I think we've seen Banner in this since Totally Awesome Hulk started. I don't think we've known where Banner is, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So I dig it.
This is good because not that I disagree, but to me the whole issues 1 and 2 were meh. I'm not feeling it like the first Civil War. It just seems like it's a non-issue this time around because the first one it was a contention thing. It was a privacy thing for the heroes. This is like. This guy can see the future. Hey, we can totally stop it when he tells us because we've done it twice now. You know, we need to do this. And it's like, it just doesn't make any sense because it's Ms. Marvel, or Captain Marvel, rather, that's like, I want this guy basically feeding us things, and the second he tells us, we're going to rush off, beat the crap out of whoever, or throw him in jail before they do anything. And Tony's like...
It's Minority Report.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone says that, right. And it's like...
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Why, as if most of these giant epics, Marvel, DC, and why is there not just someone saying, hey, guys, the middle ground, how about he tells us that Bruce Banner is going to kill everybody, and, you know, it clearly was at a location, so, you know, or that,
why don't
you know,
we just look at the location?
Why don't we just go there and stop him? It's all about, you know... You can't arrest somebody for doing something when they haven't done it yet.
Right.
That's the whole moral quandary of this entire series.
Right. And
so it's
like
all you have to do is wait till it's intent.
Right.
You know, if someone, this person's going to murder his wife. You don't just grab him out of his job. He's sitting in his cubicle because he's supposed to murder his wife tomorrow and throw him in jail. No. So you go to his apartment. You have someone in stealth mode waiting. The second he pulls a weapon and approaches her, boom, arrests it. That's intent.
Right.
And now you can legally do it, and it makes sense. I don't understand what the problem with any of this is.
The problem is that they acted upon it, and Rhodey died.
Right.
That's the thing where Tony's on your side.
Yeah.
Where he's going, we don't need to do this because you have to basically wait for them to happen. And because you did that, my best friend died.
Right.
Where Captain Marvel's end is, like you said, hey, if we can stop these dudes from happening, like this catastrophic crap, why not stop it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see both sides.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the fun. But and it's like, and they're...
I don't even know whose side I actually am on right now.
I don't even like how they kill enough people in issue one just haphazardly. Like, two people die.
Well, they don't actually say that She-Hulk died.
Because
in this one... Yeah, but in this one, they say that she's still in critical or something.
No, he thinks she's still in critical.
Right, but she doesn't say anything. So,
well, of course, because she doesn't want to tell him, oh, yeah, She-Hulk died too. Because he'd flip out even more. Because like,
that's a good
90%
point.
Of the possible future, you know, what-if areas, She-Hulk and Tony get together.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they might have already in the main continuity too. But, like, Secret Wars, they were a couple. All these different variations, they're almost always a couple. So, you know, he would flip out even more.
That's a good point.
But well, yeah, it's just like
we'll see.
I don't know. Like, it's not bad per se. It's just not. It's not an event, and it's not getting me. Like, I'll read. It's just like Civil War. Like the first. It's not as bad as Secret Wars, right? It's not as bad as Secret Wars, but
the first one or the last one they did.
Oh, the most recent. When I say I mean the Secret War event that just happened. and I use event very loosely. You can't see, but I had quotation marks up.
I saw it.
Well, yes, you can see me. They cannot.
I totally saw it.
Yeah, that it's was fine. Just, it wasn't, I'll give the it another issue or two, but I'm not digging it.
Right. It was okay. I enjoyed it. It's probably I liked it a lot better than I like Secret Wars. And that's,
right.
I think, why.
Yeah. It's better than Secret Wars.
I also think it's cool to, like, see Bendis at the helm of stuff. So. Yeah, like, I really like Bendis in general. And I like
his writing is great. Yeah.
So when he's at the helm of this thing, it's kind of cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, so. That's another that kind of bugs me that I'm not liking it more. Like,
because you like Bendis.
Yeah, like normally his stuff is on point, and like the writing, like you said, there's good quips. There's some, you know, it's right. The writing itself is good. Just the story is not good. Like the premise, I don't think is really.
Well, they had to make some kind of catalyst.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, that's like. It's like the whole Kyle Rayner girlfriends in the fridge thing. Did they really need to stuff his girlfriend in the fridge?
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. They wanted to do something crazy.
Right.
That was pretty crazy back then.
It was, yeah.
You know, and then Gail Sloan got on her soapbox and keeps talking about it. But, I mean, like, it happens. They need a catalyst. Like, you need a catalyst for a hero to come. That is how the hero's journey works. Something has to happen, and 99% of the time, it's somebody dying.
Yes.
Like, Uncle Ben died.
His parents died.
Yeah. Like
Superman's entire planet died.
Yeah, right?
People see the things like, well...
Tony Stark's parents died?
Right, yeah.
Come on. Like, you can't just be like, oh, no one ever dies like that.
Yeah.
No one ever dies that brutally, like Green Lantern, but somebody dies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's, I think... And that's a whole other tangent, but it's just a matter of it's always been like
Captain Marvel died.
Yeah,
3 times.
But it's just it's a matter of like I think the argument really stems from the fact that it's never been a balance when in reality it's a balance.
Yeah,
but in mediums like movies and TV and comics, it's always the girl. It's always the mother dies, the girlfriend or wife dies, or the daughter dies. And that spurs on the male hero, where it's like, it's just and you know the fridge thing, and then now it's just a matter of it's not even that it's cliche because it's a valid, like you're saying, it's
right.
a catalyst, it's a valid catalyst. It's just it's been done so much one sided.
Yeah.
We need more male characters dying to spur on the female heroes to balance it out.
Well, it's like with Spider-Gwen, like Peter dies.
Right.
Okay.
That totally makes sense.
And Like, even with, like I said, with Captain Marvel, like, Mar-Vell died. First, he died of cancer first.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Skrull version of him died, saving the Earth. Then he came back and died again, saving everybody from the Phoenix Force.
Right.
And she was like, you know what? I'm going to call myself Captain Marvel now.
Yeah.
As a tribute to him.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but, like, I don't, I guess, like, I understand the hero's journey so much that... It doesn't matter to me what the catalyst is because it just needs to happen.
Right.
It could be a whole city dies. Oh, but because his mom died, it's considered a girl. No.
Well, no, yeah.
Whatever. Like something dies, something major happens. But the other thing is like, so if it would have been like look at New 52's Green Lantern Alan Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So his fiance boyfriend dies.
Mm-hmm.
No one No one cared that his boyfriend died and that was the catalyst for him becoming the Green Lantern. They cared that they turned Alan Scott gay.
Right.
The hell cares?
Absolutely.
Like, who cares? And then who cares who dies? It's just someone had to. Something crazy had to happen.
Yeah.
But boom.
To be the devil's advocate, it doesn't have to. Cause
it doesn't have to be a death. Right, it could be something else.
But like Captain America, nobody died. Like, the war was going on. But he became a hero because it was the right thing to do. And I think we do need a few more of those instances where someone just chooses the mantle because, you know what? Bad things are happening, not to me, but they need to be fought. And that's what Captain America represents. And I'm not even going to touch on that crap. But that upsets me of that reveal recently. But the point is...
Totally different.
But 90% of the time, yes, it's some sort of negative catalyst that spurs on a hero, boy or girl, whatever it is.
Right.
They have to lose something
like
to fight
Lion King.
Back. Yeah.
His dad dies.
Right.
Scar becomes the king. He becomes the hero because he comes back and beats his evil uncle up.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
In Snow White, her dad dies.
Yeah.
She becomes, like, her dad dies. He'd already married the evil queen. She hates her stepmom. She leaves, goes to sleep. Some midgets find her. You know,
okay.
Some dwarves find her.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden things are all hunky-dory because she goes back and fights her stepmom with Prince Charming and they win. But, like, it's a thing that's happened throughout, like, every story. Every hero's journey has a catalyst. So, just soak it in, guys. Just just gloss over it. You know why? Because it's a comic book.
Right.
And
that's true.
Somebody's going to bring Rhodey back because he's in movies.
True. Also very true.
You know, they're not going to kill him in, like, Infinity Gauntlet. That'd just be weird. So, all right. You talk about a book.
I've talked
a lot.
I am excited to talk about this book because... I can't believe I like it. So, I didn't even realize it is DC Comics. So it's DC Comic. It is Scooby Apocalypse.
This is ridiculous.
It is, and I love it. Okay, so Scooby Apocalypse, this is issue 2, but I have to basically really kind of tell you about issue 1 a little bit. Because it's just, obviously DC got the whole Hanna-Barbera catalog.
Right,
and
I
they
heard
relaunched.
All these books are actually very much more adult than kids.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, there's the whole, what is it, the Johnny Quest fusion. So it's
the
like
Future something.
Future Quest,
Future
yes.
Quest.
So that's like the Herculoids and Johnny Quest and Birdman.
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost, it's crazy. So they revamped and updated and made more adult all of these Hanna-Barbera comics.
A lot like what Archie's
ways.
Doing right now.
Yes,
but yeah,
exactly. So Scooby Apocalypse resets the entire Scooby idea. and this is their origin story, and you're origin story, but it's so good.
So it's like how they became the Scooby Gang?
Yes.
Sweet.
I don't even know where to start. Like, so Fred and Daphne are a team that, like, Daphne hosts, used to be a good journalist with Fred as her cameraman. Then they spurred off and created a Mysterious Mysteries TV show where they would go around and, like, debunk mysteries and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which was successful for quite some time, but then I can't remember exactly why they what they said, but something happened, like something went wrong, and they lost their viewership.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, she's not a laughing stock or anything, but they're trying to get it back.
Right.
They're trying to restock it. So she gets a tip called in by this, like, not mysterious scientist, but just this scientist that says she has something that's gonna, like, this horrible thing that's going to happen. It's going to blow the roof off of everything.
Right.
She needs to do it. And that is Velma. Because Velma works for this top secret government organization that, and you learn the way she tells it, like the way they write it, she's talking about these four scientists. It never gives them names. They're just the four scientists that run this entire project. And it's this giant base with multiple levels, the whole nine yards.
Mm.
You know, staffed by like hundreds and hundreds of people.
Right.
They were designing nanobots that would be released into the atmosphere to but to adjust human nature to try and temper the darker urges, like get rid of anger and violence and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And she was a part of that. She was helping design it. And there's a couple verbal cues throughout the first issue that shows it was actually five scientists. But she's only saying, oh, it's these four scientists.
Because she doesn't want to be considered one of the five
right.
that did it. Okay.
Yeah, and they started it. But what she found out is that The other four had an ulterior motive. They were going to not just try and tweak things and make the world better, because mm-hmm. that was the design, to make the world a better place, safer, all this.
Right.
They wanted to create docility in all of humanity and basically be able to just like make everyone just mindless slaves that, you know, didn't care.
Oh,
and
wow.
they would just run the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story she's trying to break through Velma or through right. Daphne and Fred. Meanwhile, one of the experiments that's going on, a la Dean Koontz Watchers, basically, is that they're breeding super smart dogs for the military. Dogs that can speak.
Yeah.
You know where this is going, right? Right?
This is awesome.
So dogs that can speak and be aggressive and stuff like that. Scooby was the first one.
Okay.
But he was, quote unquote, a failure because he's not as aggressive as he's supposed to be.
Right.
So they bring That's in hilarious. Shaggy, who, like, Melvin is, like, his real name or whatever. Like, he keeps telling everybody, call me Shaggy. You know, my friends call me Shaggy. He is, like, a dog whisperer. He's, like, super,
nice.
Super good at controlling and teaching and training dogs. So they bring him for the program. And not only are
this
they
awesome.
Genetically engineered dogs, they have, like, not cyber enhancements, but, like, stuff. Like, so Scooby has, like, this headgear that yeah. gives him, like, more enhanced eyebrows so they can emote more. and it also
really?
Projects, yes, projects little this. Holograms next to his head to
give. Oh my God, that's awesome.
It projects emoticons.
That is awesome.
And Shaggy's
it's
the only
right
one.
Right on the cover.
Yeah. Shaggy's the only one that can see those emoticons because he has special contact lenses that allows him to see them.
Oh my God.
And so, like, you know, Scooby's like, you know, ruh-roh, and they'll put, like, a little frowny face next to his head, you know? And so, anyway, there's this, like, all the other dogs are attacking Scooby. Like, they're trying
right.
to kill him. And he's fighting back a little bit, and then Shaggy, like, they're like, the one scientist is like, oh, we're going to have to put that one down. You know, like, just let him, they
oh,
attack
man.
Him all the time, let it go. And he's like, hell no, he jumps down into the pit with these giant, like, pit bulls and Dobermans and all these genetically killer
right.
dogs, and he stares them all down, and he's like, back off, now. I said now. And they all kind of, like, they, like,
yeah.
dip their ears, and they back up. And the scientist's like, that was incredibly stupid and crazy and kind of impressive. Yeah. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and then and then he's like, and then he says, we have to put this one down. He's like, you're not putting any dogs down on my watch. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll just train him. I'll teach him. To take care of himself more. And then, like, Scooby's like, Ruh-roo. And he's like, did you just talk? Ruh-huh. You know? He's like, oh, God. So anyway, they're friends. And they're, like, hanging out together and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps breaking Scooby out for, like, little trips.
Yeah.
And they're, like, in whatever town in, like, Nevada or wherever desert kind of
mm-hmm.
location they are at a festival where, like, everyone's dressed crazy so no one notices,
right.
no one cares about Scooby with the stuff on his head. So they all come back and, like, meet together whenever Daphne and them are trying to break the news.
Right.
So they go down into the base so that Daphne or Velma can show them and explain all that.
Mm.
And then the key part is, like, they're all kind of like they're not happy together. Like, nobody likes each other because
right.
they really tweak the personalities. Daphne is, I wouldn't call her a bitch. Like, someone did, and I'm like, no, she's not. She's just really strong, and she does kind of, like, beat down Fred a little bit, but not even much. Like,
she's just very alpha female.
Yes,
okay.
And Fred clearly loves her.
Right.
Like, you know, he's just, I'll do whatever you want as long as we're together. Like, I'm just backing you up, whatever you say.
Right.
This is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. And then, but she's just kind of, like, yelly every once in a while. But I don't see it as
prima
being,
donna-y.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And Velma
I get it.
Is just... She's like a bitch because she's so intelligent. She's like, you know, I'm smarter than everybody.
Like,
and she treats
yeah.
him that way. She's like, well, you guys don't understand because I'm just smarter than you.
Right.
And so, like, Daphne and Velma keep button heads. And Shaggy's all laid back and he's like, guys, calm down, you know,
right.
all this stuff. So anyway, issue one, so good. And it ends with the base going into lockdown. Because it was on a skeleton crew. That's why she called them in and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
The scientists aren't there. And she's like, don't worry. They can't activate the nanobots. They've already been released.
Right.
And they're like, well, why the hell did you wait now? Like, if they're already released, it's too late. She's like, no. It takes this big procedure to activate them. And the four scientists have to do it together. They're not here. And then suddenly the place goes into lockdown because they happen to be in, you know, oh, they happen to be, but they're in the safe room when
right.
it goes down. And she's like, no. What's going on? And she's like, what? Like, the nanobots have been activated. They can't be activated. And she's like, the power goes out, and they're like, what's going on? This can't be good. And it's like, I'm sure everything's fine. You know, they can't be activated. And then, like, the last page is it cuts to, like, outside, and everything is a monster.
Oh, no.
And then, so, like, issue two kicks up where, you know, they turn off the alarms, they open the doors, and they're trying to figure out what the hell's going wrong. And
right.
The skeleton crew, whoever was left in the building that wasn't in the safe room,
yeah.
The nanobots activated and mutated them into monsters. And so now what? They have to fight their way out. It's not like a horde, but it's yeah. enough, you know? And, like, this is... just letting everyone know, this is no longer on the kids' wall.
Yeah.
Other Scooby titles are, but Scooby Apocalypse is on the main wall because,
right.
like... Daphne has to shoot somebody, and there's yeah. a blood splatter, and there's, like, you know,
oh,
violence.
Yeah. It's totally rated teen, by the way.
Yeah, and but it's just so good. I'm like, how am I liking this so much?
It's because
it's so well written.
Yeah, it's
the
a lot like
really
how they adapted
too.
Archie and Sabrina up to, like, our speed, like, mm-hmm. our age.
Yeah,
it was
so
nostalgic enough to draw you to check it out, and
yeah.
it's, like, now, so you're just like, oh, man, that's hilarious, because, like, you understand both the old and the
right.
new concept.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so like the plot and breakdowns by
Scooby's
Keith
eyebrows
Griffin,
are hilarious.
Right? That's
way.
Great. And then dialogue and more dialogue by J.M. DeMantis. And then pencils by Howie Porter.
DeMantis? Nice.
Yeah. You know, and so look at that. Look at this thing. And everyone
what?
Says, everyone eventually, this she says their catchphrase. Like, Velma keeps shouting jinkies. And they're like, she's like running, jinkies, 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 jinkies. And they're like, what the hell is a jinky? And then, like, at some point, you know, Scooby does Rikes. And then, what are they? Everybody says their
zoinks.
Thing. Shaggy says zoinks. Daphne says hers, whatever it was.
I don't even know what hers would be.
You do.
Fred?
As soon as you, I don't think Fred like, really had one, but as soon as she says it, you're like, oh, that's
no,
right.
No, I meant Fred would probably be hers.
No, it was, I can't remember what it was, but she screamed something funny, and you're like, yep, that's from the show, all right. Because they
wow.
even make fun of it, too. Oh, right, this is great. I gotta say this. This
okay,
is so
this
awesome.
Is good.
So they're like, we have to get out of here, and to some way, you know, figure out what's going on outside. So they're like, well, we need to get to the garage, and, like, Shaggy leads them through the vents because,
right.
like, Scooby and him would hang out there and eat and sleep and nap and
right.
stuff. So they get to the garage, and they're like, this is Krebs, a scientist named Krebs, his experiment. Oh, and Shaggy's like, oh, yeah, I hung out with this guy when watch him work on it. And he's like, what's so special about it? Well, we're not really sure. He always very secretive. He just called it his mystery machine.
What?
And it's a giant battle wagon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that.
This
I
is
like,
great.
It was everything about it. I cannot,
oh my God.
I cannot recommend this enough.
I'm totally going to go buy these books tomorrow. So,
because so
now
good.
I need to read them because...
You absolutely
shit,
do.
Thanks, Brian.
Yes.
That's probably like the best pitch I've heard about that book yet. Like, of all the people I talked to, that was the best one.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to talk about Loki. Vote Loki, number one.
Be Live.
Be Live by Chris Hastings. Landon Foss and Chris Chukri. So the art in this is like pretty good, but it's just weird because it's like this dude's running for mayor and then like Hydra attacks and then Loki like stops the thing, the attack, and they're all like, oh, thanks Loki, because Loki's like, yeah, I'm not evil anymore. I haven't been evil in a long time and things and stuff. And I was, you know, part of the Young Avengers and things.
Oh, because
so,
it's young Loki now, right?
Well, he's kind of like early 20s looking Loki because he
right,
has like
yeah.
5 o'clock shadow and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, J. Jonah Jameson's like doing an interview with him, and the girl who... like the girl who knows what happened, like when the first mayor guy ran the mob out of the city when she was younger, Loki was the one who sent the mob to it, like to do it.
Yeah.
And then like that same guy was running for re-election and he stopped the Hydra guys and she's just like calling him on his crap. So he like teleports to her apartment and she's like, oh, what the hell? And You know, so, like, they talk, and he's like, no, I don't really want to hurt you. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. So she's like, all right, whatever. So she goes over to talk to him at, like, this office, and Angela opens the door, and she's like, I'm here to talk to Loki. And she's like, welcome to Ophelia Research. Cause that's how I feel that Angela would talk.
Okay.
And she's like, who are you? She's like, Angela. And Loki's like, oh, that's just my sister.
Oh, that's right.
And then she becomes Lady Loki, and she's talking, like, she's doing, like, this hotline thing.
Wait, Loki becomes Lady Loki?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, I became a woman so that I could talk to you, because, like, women apparently like to talk to women easier, and blah, blah. Like, it was really weird. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And eventually, like, at the end, like, she writes this story, and then her publisher gets a phone call from Loki, and it completely, like, flips the story.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, super mad about it.
Right.
And Loki's like, yep, gonna run. So it was kind of cool, but it was very interesting. It was kind of funny. If you like Loki stories, it'll be fun, but for a mini, it'll be cool, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of fun because it's, like, you know, political season. So,
well, sure, that's why they did it.
But it was definitely, like, awkward, but nothing I would, you know, buy regularly.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, though. Like, if you like I said, if you like Loki stories,
it's the cover's cool because it's totally, even though it's young Loki in the side, it's totally Tom Hiddleston Loki on the cover.
Yeah, they kind of made him look like that when they made him young. After they made him young.
Oh, so. Okay.
Cool. All right, so we have a bunch of stuff coming out this week. If you go to ndcomics.com and hit new releases, you'll see a bunch of it. Action 958, Adventures of Supergirl 4, Aquaman 1, Archie 9, Back to the Future 9, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 28, Carnage 9, Civil War's Choosing Sides number 1, Deadpool versus Gambit number 1, Detective 937, Divinity 2-3, Doctor Strange 9, Flash 1, Godzilla Oblivion 4, Grumpy Cat and Pokey 5, Gwenpool 0, Gwenpool 2. Oh, sorry, that's a reprint. My bad.
I was going to say, the Gwenpool 0 should have been
Harley Quinn 29. Let's see here. Justice League 52 second print, I believe. Madballs 3. Madballs. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 4. Mighty Thor 8. Miss Marvel 8. Munchkin 18. Nighthawk 2. Ooh, the complete NYX collection. That's kind of cool. Pop Ghostbusters. Second wave of those came out. Power Man and Iron Fist 5. Rye 14. Robin, Son of Batman 13. Rocket and Groot 6. Scarlet Witch 7. Street Fighter 7. Superhuman Resources 1. Teen Titans 21. Totally Awesome Hulk 7. Bebop and Rocksteady Destroy Everything number 4.
cool title at least.
Right? Let's see. Web Warriors 8, Wonder Woman 1, X-Files 3, Exo Man War Deluxe Hardcover Volume 3. What? XO, bro. Bro.
XO.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all the comics and stuff. So check that out. Other than that, I just wanted to talk, kind of give a minute for the new Chekhov who passed away.
Hmm.
Yeah, that really sucks. This year has just been terrible. I mean, Prince, yeah. Darwin Cook, just tons and tons.
Like,
yeah,
you know, Florida and just regular
people, yeah,
celebrities, everything is
like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
yeah. Obviously the tragedy in Florida is mind blowing. So just kind of, you know, wanted to talk a little bit just about how 2016 can't, like, it's got to come up. There's got to be some good.
let's hope so.
Yeah. So
we could actually go the route of let's, you know, make it good.
Yeah.
Don't expect it and wait for it to be good. Go out and make it good.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Like,
yeah, you know,
like,
go
yeah, these bad things
donate
are
your time.
But
go,
yeah,
you know, if you can't donate your time somewhere, donate a little bit of money, $5, $10 to whatever charity that touches your heart makes a difference.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be. You don't have to donate thousands to make a difference in some of these things.
Right.
You know, food banks, children's hospitals, you know, anything. Yeah. Just, you
know, have an hour out of your day to like volunteer somewhere.
Right.
And it could be like anything. Could be Big Brothers Big Sisters, could be like a dog sitting thing.
Yeah.
You just help out with a stray, you know, that needs some love.
You know, go, you know, instead of bitching because your neighbor never cuts their lawn and it looks crappy, you know, maybe offer to do it for them. You know, just, hey, you know what, you know that you happen to, you know, you're always working or, you know, you're elderly, something, why don't I take care of it for you this
week? Somebody would do that for me. My lawn's always crazy by the time I get to it, which reminds me, I have to mow my lawn. Damn it.
There you go.
Damn you, 2016 and your lawns. No, like, yeah, just get out there and do something cool. You know, like, I went to my buddy's ordination the other day, and I'm not a Christian anymore or any kind of really religious person. I'm more of a spiritual person, but mm-hmm. you can be spiritual without being religious.
Right.
And he knows this, and we're really good friends about this, and I've known him since college. And so I go there, and it's like a two-hour-long mass.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize it was going to be this long.
Right.
But, so when it came time for the Eucharist, I did not go up. And he afterwards like came and thanked me, and I was like, I've never been thanked for that before, but it's kind of cool because it's that respect sign, and like, you know, that was me doing something cool for somebody that I didn't have to do. Like, right. I didn't have to go to that because I don't do church. I don't, you know, it's just not my thing anymore. I've been through
mm-hmm.
multiple religion possibilities.
Right.
And, you know, it was just me supporting someone and me doing something good for somebody else. And, you know, like, and then him telling me that just totally blew my mind. And right. I was like, you know what? That was kind of cool. Like, we do respect each other. Awesome. Yeah. But yeah, like, just go and do something good for somebody. Like, hold the freaking door for somebody.
Right.
I mean, it actually reminds me of this bad joke about chivalry. So there was this bad joke that went, someone said that chivalry isn't dead, though they never looked up the definition of chivalry, because it actually is being nice to females is part of it, but then the rest of it is like a whole bunch of like war tactic thing,
right,
like war
yeah.
stuff. So the joke goes I held the door for this girl, and she said, I didn't hold this door for this girl, and she said, oh, chivalry is dead. And he said, no, really, it's not. I challenge you to a joust. Needless to say, she was not very good at jousting.
Okay.
I was like, wow. But yeah, just go out and do something good for people. Like, you feel good about it too. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, if you don't have time, just donate like $5-$10 to charity. Like, that's like what? One not part of a meal, like half a meal.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can do it, you can do it. And I donate Absolutely. To charities throughout the year. Like,
yeah.
I have a couple charities I donate to. So.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too. Like, you know, you go in a grocery shop and buy an extra thing of peanut butter and give it to the food bank.
Yeah.
You know, that's less than $5 right there.
Yeah.
And it's something they need.
So. Yeah. There were, I was actually in one of our stores today, and they were cleaning out, like, their. Lost and found.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this stuff, I was like, how long has this stuff been there? Like over a year. And there were like 6 winter jackets.
Right.
I'm not even joking.
No, I know.
6 of them.
Ridiculous.
And I was like, what are we doing to these? And he was like, you know, the manager was like, I'm going to give them to Goodwill. I was like, all right, cool. I'm totally down with that. So Goodwill's getting 6 jackets from us, and it made
Although
me feel.
Technically, it should be Salvation Army.
Whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, Goodwill's
oh, yeah,
not
you're
really
right.
a charity.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's still better than not
throwing it away. Yeah.
It's still better than throwing it away, and it's helping out the not as less fortunate, because somebody's gonna go buy it there for
right,
cheap.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's true.
You know, and they actually give some of their stuff to Salvation Army too. If like it's not, if it has to be like so much percent intact before they can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything they don't goes to Salvation Army then.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of cool. But yeah, just go out and do something good for people.
Yeah, like, I think
give somebody a high five at random tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
There was we were at ACD Gabe's Day, and I walked out to use the restroom, and this dude had this awesomely like red beard, like it was huge. Like, it was, like, down to his belly button, and I just, like, walked up to him, and I was like, sweet facial hair, bro. High five. And he just gave me this awesome high five.
Nice.
And we both, like, laughed about it, and I just kept going to the restroom. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, he saw me later, and he just started chuckling. So, you know, but I brightened that dude's day up. He had to, like, watch a door all day. He was a doorman, like, you know. But, yeah, it's fun, and it makes you feel good, and, you know, just do it. There's too much bad that goes on in the world to not do something good every once in a while.
Yeah. And so we're seeing it all the time now.
This Saturday I'm gonna be doing I'm gonna be singing at Children's Hospital again.
Oh, so, nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Like my fraternity group is doing another it's called the Mills Music Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it started by our founder, Asha Mills, in Boston, and originally it was called the Flower Missions. And he would take musicians and poets and stuff from Boston Conservatory, New England Conservatory, sorry. And Boston College and all those places that were up there, and he would take them into the hospitals in like the late 1800s, which by then, if you were in the hospital, you were pretty much not coming out.
Right.
And he would do it a lot after holidays, because then he would just go to churches and get all the extra flowers they were going to throw away anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take them to these people and he would give them to them, and they would sing and play and talk to him and hang out, and for like half an hour or whatever they were there, 20 minutes, like people forgot they were sick and dying, and like it spawned music therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we do to keep his memory alive, and also as a philanthropic endeavor for us,
right?
To just be cool toward humanity and like grow humanity, because like all those kids in there, some of those kids have never seen outside.
Yeah,
you know, like a lot of people don't think about that when they go in there. And you know, you go in there and you talk to some of the directors of some of the departments, and you're just like, really? Like, this kid has never, ever been outside? And you're just like, man, like, I take a lot for granted.
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to go in there, and I think we'll be in the atrium. Actually, Sunday. Sorry, we'll be there Sunday. And, you know, it's going to be good. We do this at least once a year. It's a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there last time. It was, yeah, it was all right.
So yep.
We did okay for just rehearsing that morning.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you know, go make somebody smile. You know, we're all nerds together. You
that's
know,
the thing.
We
that's
get
definitely the thing.
We get crapped on all the time, or at least we used to, because right. Now being a nerd is cool.
Right, it's all in
but
vogue.
Like, but yeah, when you and I were growing up, you know, if you were a nerd, you got beat up, you got shunned, you got picked last.
Right, because it's like, oh, you still watch cartoons, you read comic books, that's right. Stupid, that's kidding.
Who would do that? Why would you waste your money on that? I'm just going to go pump iron and pretend I'm not really into that stuff, and secretly I'm just jealous.
Right.
Because that's really what happened, because now they're all our friends, and they're like, man, I wish I would have read comics back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so jealous. What? Really? Why didn't you just do it? Oh, I didn't want to get made fun of. Thanks.
Right.
But yeah, like we're the last people to judge. And that's, you know, something I've told all the stores too. Like when I became general manager, I was like, look, like the guys that come in the store, like you should never ever complain about anybody, because this is the last judgment zone ever.
That's one of the things I love about being a nerd, is that as a community, we understand what it is. Like, we understand what it means to be made fun of
and bullied.
And so it's like we're accepting. You know, we look out for each other, and we, you know, I mean, it's not like this all perfect little Halos thing, but I mean, generally speaking,
right?
When compared to like sports fandoms and other fandoms, basically, I consider nerds to be better, because in that respect, because we, it's not, you know, of course, there's always fanboys of any type, but you know, if you're a DC guy and I'm a Marvel guy, most nerds are going to be like, okay, well, that's cool. Batman's not so bad. I kind of like, you know, you're going to find a middle ground.
Right.
And you're just going to be like, well, I don't like that stuff, but it's cool that you do. You know, it's not like, oh my God, you know, you say you like the Cleveland Browns around a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and oh, you're garbage and your team sucks. And it's like, get out of here. It's like we are like, well, it's mutual fandom. We both like this. We just like different things, but
Marvel,
the same way.
And I'm a DC.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. Right.
Which, by the way, is hilarious if you haven't watched it on YouTube.
Yes, go see those. They're really funny.
Yeah. But yeah, it's exactly like there's no reason to do that and like to like.
I love you guys.
Yeah, right. To be that haven and that place for where people like to gather is like what we strive for here. Like that's why our communities are so strong. You know, and nerds alike are like that, you know, whether it's like the cavey style place or it's your mom's basement or it's like the bright, shiny store that has a lot of natural light. And, you know, it's very well lit and people think it's like a real place.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, my God, it's a comic book store. Like, but then you have people that come in and they're like, oh, it's a Sheldon store. And it's like, you don't understand what you are saying.
Yes.
Like, I know you don't mean to be offensive, but you're being a little offensive.
Yes.
So,
I do dislike that, but
I do too. But I mean, but people, but they don't know.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to educate them of, hey, what you're doing is not what that show is actually trying to support, and what you shouldn't do in humanity anyway.
Right.
So, but I guess it basically comes down to Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other.
There you go.
And party on. Dudes.
Yes. After you're done being nice to each other, party on. Party with the person you're being nice to. Why not?
Right. Go buy somebody a beer tonight. Just go out to the bar, find some random person, and be like, I'm buying that guy a beer. You know? Be like, that guy kind of looks like George Perez. I'm buying him a beer. He's got a sweet Hawaiian shirt on. Buying that guy
a
beer.
Oh, my God. It is George Perez.
Oh, it is. Oh, hey, George. Mr. Perez. How are you? Yeah. Right. That could totally happen. But, yeah, so, but yeah, just, you know, go out and do some stuff and make the rest of this year 100 times better for everybody.
Yes.
Like, you know, even if it's just one person, just do something cool for one person and, it's going to pass along, I swear. It'll come back to you in better ways and you know.
I agree. I'm with you.
All right, cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys. And
all serious and.
Yeah, sorry to get up on that soapbox there. Yeah. Whoops. My bad.
All right, well, hey, Stan was up there once. It's all right. If we can be
that's true.
Stan's soapbox, it's all
right. Right. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks, bye. Guys.